some of the things that we've been going over are maybe new to you. Some of them so I've heard of before. So the Not a Fan series. I began a couple weeks ago this series, and I showed you my Giles stuff, and that's not that I put Giles up here, but I was just a Giles follower. Nothing would keep me from a game. I'd already decided on Friday. Now, I knew Monday I was going to go watch him play on Friday. And so I love watching him play. I still keep up with the score. Not quite as bad as I used to be. But, I mean, when Hampshire Wardrobe is your team colors, or you always want to go, and I ride back in ambulance when somebody gets hurt, I just want to be there. I'd go up and try to scout. I talked to Coach Rex that before, and he'd say, would you watch this team? And I would, and I'd go back, and he says, okay, tell me what they're going to run. So I've actually helped him out a few times like that. And so I was a follower, but then God gave me a different passion in playing. You wanted me to plant Life Point Church. But if any of you can identify that you just stick with something so well, in other words, Miami plays today, Ben might watch Miami. If you ladies that call us, do you have a favorite TV show like that? You know, something that's really like, Brett, you like The Boys, right? Or something. Just kidding. But I mean, if you got a favorite TV show, we started Life Point Church several years ago, and we started having a Bible study. Can I remember the early days, the Bible studies over at Huff Lane? We had a couple visit one time. And I thought, wow, this is really early days. The first Bible study I had, I was just, we had a couple block parties and said, we're going to start Life Point Church this coming Tuesday on a Tuesday night at about 7 o'clock. And nobody was coming. And a few people walked up the sidewalk, came to the door, and I said, hallelujah, we got some people from Life Point. They walked to the door, and I said, hey, good to see you, good to see you. Could you tell us where the Cub Scouts meeting is? Oh, right down the hall. You know, it's like, I didn't know. And then somebody else came in and they said, you know, we're going to be here tonight, but I don't know how often we can be here because NCIS is on Tuesday night. That's our favorite TV show.
Wow.
Yeah, NCIS, yeah, I can see it.
Can you just set a VCR or something?
You got to do something.
But that was back in the day, we used to really hate to miss our show. So in other words, every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, where was that couple? They said, in front of the TV show, watching the TV, watching NCIS. I guess every Friday night at 7 o'clock, I'm watching the Giles Florence play. It's just, that's the way it is. Am I that bad?
No.
Not quite as bad anymore, but let me show you as I introduce this series. To get started, what is a fan? Fan is defined as an enthusiastic admirer. You're enthusiastic, you're glad you're there, but when all is said and done, you're gone, and it really doesn't matter. You're sort of like a leaf caught in the wind. I mean, it's nice of you. You'll have a good crowd. Virginia Tech, they said they love them when they go to bowl games because they travel well. Now they come the other day at the same thing, Christiansburg, so they asked somebody, you know, why do you still play Giles? Because Giles will bring more fans than we have. Well, that's what Giles does. That's a following. You know, when you show up at some place and you're playing and they've got four people in the crowd and you've got 200 and it's an away game, it's just crazy. So we've got some enthusiastic admirers down there, but we've got a couple of people that are diehard. Remember, it's rain, snow, cold, it doesn't make any difference. What is a fan? Enthusiastic admirer. Kyle Idleman writes this. I think Jesus has a lot of fans. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Now, First Baptist, you can't tell me that out of 5, 8,000, whatever down there today, every one of them is a follower that you couldn't, you know. Sneak in, sneak out. I think Jesus has a lot of fans these days. Some fans maybe even get dressed up for church on Sunday, make the ringtone a worship song. You know. They like being associated with Jesus. Fans want to be close enough to Jesus to get the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. They want a no-strings-attached relationship with Jesus. If you compare that in today's time, if a couple loved each other and they get close and they really love each other, then they should get, what, married. Let's just live together for 10 years or so. Is that a no-strings-attached? Yeah, if any of them get mad, they just walk out on each other. There's no strings there. There's no commitment. Or if you're married, you know, Jimmy, for some wild, unbelievable thought would get mad at me. I just don't understand. Anyway, Jimmy's not going to walk out. I'm not going to walk out. We're there. And, I mean, we love each other. But just to know that you're married is the further thing that you're going to be committed for. Or if somebody, you just walk out, no, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So that's the way the world thinks. No strings attached. What else do I want you to remember from this? Is it an enthusiastic admirer, that fan? It seems a fan is a person who, they want the blessings, as long as there's no trouble, interruptions, or changes to the way they normally live their life. Luke 9:23 would settle it there. You think the disciples had some changes to their life? You think their lives were afraid? On the day that Jesus left this earth and went to heaven, the disciples got together and they were there in the upper room. Why did they have the doors locked?
They're scared for their life.
They think, we're next. They'll kill us today. They killed him yesterday. We're gone. And you know, time. Well, can we quit? He quit. He's commissioned us. So we've got to do this. But they might kill him. And they kill him. And they developed a Todd Beamer attitude. Remember Todd Beamer? What was the flight, Brett? Was that 93? Flight 93, Todd Beamer was one that's famous words, let's roll. He called his wife and basically said, honey, I'm going to die in the next 10 minutes. But we've got to take this plane down because these terrorists are going to crash and anything. What was the plane headed for? Pentagon. So we got to take this thing down. Okay, I love you. Leave it on, leave that. His wife says, you can just hear the screams from the background. They charged that cockpit, brought that plane down, crashed it in a field in Pennsylvania instead of letting it destroy it. That's a hero. Now, you can't tell me when Todd looked at everybody around and said, y'all ready? Okay, let's get a good breath. I mean, to me, that's, let's roll. Let's do this. Those are followers right there. They're not fans like, I don't know, we might get hurt. I don't know. I think they all had that camaraderie. Those disciples were like a band of brothers. We're probably going to die during this mission after we will do it. Next thing. Check this out then. Francis Chan, he's a guy I appreciate too. He's a good speaker. He's a book, one book, Crazy Love, that book. Francis Chan says, he wants all or nothing. The thought of a person calling himself a Christian without being a devoted follower of Christ is absurd. Like, there's no, Francis Chan, this is like, there's no in between. You either a solid follower, just don't even tell me you're here. But I'm a Christian, I just don't really want to get too involved, or I don't want to really, you probably make Francis Chan a little bit aggravated at you. What else? With Kyle Lineman, Francis Chan, can I give you a simple way to look at this? We need to remember that Jesus doesn't want fans, he wants followers. When he come by on the shore that day and he looked out to James and John and he calls out to them, what did he say? Same as Matthew, two words, what? Follow me. And they look up and in that moment, about James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they own the fishing business. This is costing them money if they leave. They don't care. They're going to walk out because they had something better. They leave their nets, they leave their money, they leave their lifestyle, they leave everything to follow. Fans to follow, all followers. Matter of fact, some critics and them would probably pull them aside and say, do you know what you're getting at? When I first asked, you know, after years of years of being away from the Lord, that's what I'd call backslidden. I knew I was saved, but I asked, I said, Lord, I went to a retreat, and I said, Jesus, I'm sorry I've been away from you. Would you forgive me? And I want to follow you. And I can remember we were sitting in my house, and we were sitting there in the trailer that we were at Pembroke, my dad ran a laundromat. I was in the front room, and I went in there, and a friend of ours, Dennis Duncan, came up to talk to my friend Steve Bedram, and I went in the other room, and was in there doing something, and I actually heard Dennis Duncan say, don't you think he's taking this too far? To where Steve said, no, he's not taking far enough. Steve was lost at the time. So I was backsliding. Steve was lost. We were good friends. He ended up getting saved because of that, and I became a follower. So I'm a follower, and Steve gets saved. So some people just think, they think you are. Don't you think you take this too far? I mean, you don't have to go to church, do you? You don't have to really read the Bible in 30 days. I mean, don't you just calm down? No, we can't. We need to be a light more than ever. I started the series off a couple weeks ago by trying to explain what a follower and a fan was. As we get into this today, I'm going to show you this. A couple weeks ago, I showed you this guy as they beat Blacksburg. And I'm a fan of Giles. But this guy, you know, it was an easy game. Turned out to be the score was okay. So they beat Blacksburg. Here's the next picture. This next guy is this man running, scoring another touchdown. And I thought, wow. It's easy to follow Giles. They're just stomping Blacksburg in the ground. Right here's a great picture of Blacksburg. These two guys are double teaming. The single wing works because people downfield block. That's the key to this offense. Anyway, as we beat them, like we usually do, it's an exciting game. But now let me switch gears.
Then what if they turn around and they play Christiansburg? And Christiansburg's sort of gunning for Giles. They're supposed to have a great team. We're running against Christiansburg right here, but it might surprise you that the great team of Giles finds themselves right here. On a Saturday, Giles, September 5th, Giles played Christiansburg. They've only played two games so far. They were open this week. In an unusually scheduled 11 a.m. game, oddly enough, Giles is down 22-0 in the first quarter. Okay, since we're down 22-0 in the first quarter, do you want to switch sides, Trey? You want to switch sides? Now, if you show up, you're sitting on the Giles side, you better stay on the Giles side. You just need to yell harder, work harder, and keep being a what? A follower, not a fan. But they're down 22-0. Giles ain't going to come back from there.
Really?
Let me read you what the run-up times were. Three more quarters and Giles might have just surprised, because here's what the run-up times later wrote. Giles roars back, edges Christiansburg to keep regular season streak alive. Teams on winning streaks spanning multiple seasons aren't easily finished off. Giles doesn't die. That's basically what that says. You cannot keep us down. Giles was down 22 points after a quarter that rallied for a 39-29 victory. So we scored five touchdowns, six, I guess, got the extra points in there, right? These guys scored one more time. We have now got a 30-game winning streak. You don't beat us at Giles. What do you think that does when an opponent walks into their stadium? Nobody wins here. That's what their mentality is. What do you think that does as a coach to get your team up? Guys, this is our house. Nobody beats us here.
Yeah.
And for that little wavering point to where whether you're good or bad, that'll tip you over sometimes and say, yeah. And you've just gained confidence, gained momentum. It's like nobody beats us. Well, that's what kind of confidence we all have. When you go to the Father and pray, I don't know, God, do you even hear my prayers? Can I defeat the devil? Well, James 4:7 says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, verse 8, and he'll draw nigh to you. We're on the winning side, guys. We win. I read the book. We win. We have already won the game. So would that give you confidence in prayers that whatever we ask of him, he hears us? That ought to propel you. And if we say five people got baptized last week, look at the testimonies of the people that are changed. God's working right in our midst. That's sort of like a winning at home attitude. So you say, yeah, God, you're at work. Yeah, you can do this. Now you, Lord, I want to put this out before you. And we start praying with more confidence. Let me ask you a few questions. Here are the questions. Question number one. When the Giles Spartans were behind 22-0, how many Giles fans went over to the other side of the field? None. We don't quit. As a matter of fact, if we lost, we still wouldn't have went on the other side. Here's the next thing. Do you think any Giles fans switch sides during the game, cheering for both teams throughout the game? No, that doesn't work either. Here's the next thing. What would you call someone who tried to cheer for both teams?
Hypocrite.
Hypocrite. And so if your team's up, we call them fair weather. As a matter of fact, if you've got acquaintances in your life, you might call them fair weather friends. They love you when everything's going good. And they're out of here if it's going bad. And Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what he wants us to be. We are going to be found faithful. So what would you call someone who tried to cheer for both teams?
Yeah.
A hypocrite. Find your Bibles and look in Joshua chapter 7, 8. And you can go ahead and... Today I want us to think about going to a football game and cheering for a favorite team. As you enter the stadium, you see the home side and the visitor side. Your team is the home team. Where you want to sit? Well, we're going to sit on the home side. Which side do you stay on the entire game? We're going to stay on the home side. Okay. Andy, go ahead and roll on here. It's all or nothing is what I'm going to try to pitch you today. You don't just... Let me try Christianity and see if I like it, and then I'll let you know. Russ, when people join the Rangers, do they try it for a while, see if they like it? So what's the idea?
It's all or nothing. Either you get accepted or you're out.
And it's not like, well, let me try the Rangers. Like it's an option. I don't know whether to be a fry cook or an electrical engineer. I'm still trying to figure it out. Yeah, those two gotta do it. I want to be a Navy SEAL or, well, my gracious. So when 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 11 people try to tackle you, you dig in deep. When the devil keeps throwing targets at you, it's like, yeah, let me just batter you. And you go, yeah! I mean, that was tough. That's my attitude for the devil. I want to hate sin more than I ever did. I want to love people more than I ever did. I want to forgive. I want to be kind. I want to dig in deep. Man, you're taking this seriously. I want people to not have one question of whether, is he a fire? Man, that guy's a fire. Yeah. It'd be like going up to a Navy SEAL, a Ranger, and you're sitting there like this, and you say, are you dedicated? He doesn't want to know if he's not dedicated. That'd be a dumb question. You don't ask somebody who's just digging in deep and saying, Satan, I've got God on my side. How do we get to be like this? How do we get to choose? Well, I'll tell you one thing to avoid, and you can get more to be better, a better follower today if we'll just maybe eliminate the other thing from my life. If you've got your Bible in one of the things that you become a ranger, you say, I'm going to dig in deep. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to have any of the, oh, I wish I was still this, or I wish I was still that. You can't go back to the old way of life. Or else, maybe it's like this. Andy, you can put this one up. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, just before Joshua dies at the ripe old age of 110, you don't have to turn to it. I mean, I'm going to read you this. We're going to get something out of Joshua 7. He says this, something to challenge his followers. He's about to leave, and he says this. They have faced a lot of people that have false gods along the way. Some of his people would occasionally get strayed from here to there. Does that make sense? We just get strayed off, we get distracted. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, the Lord. We're not going to get distracted. We're not going to get pulled away from our solid foot. Now, if you're more of a follower, you get less and less distracted. You parents, if you go into a grocery store, you've got a list. And you'll stick to the list. And for lack of maybe a better comparison, you're the follower. What are the kids? You're the fan. You say, Rachel, would you go get a can of green beans? Rachel comes back with chocolate chip cookies. Okay, Rachel, I say green beans. Okay? But these look good. So see, Rachel's easily going to that side. Now, that might be a simple illustration to show out, but we're sometimes like that. You dig in deep and you say, the Satan's not going to get the best of me this time. I'm not going to get angry with this guy. I'm not going to get mad at my coworker. I'm not going to say three cuss words like a union when the lawnmower was not start. And you go, almost let go there, God. You caught me. You might not like that teletrick. Cuss less. Don't get so angry. And it's like, but you're asking me to... I'm asking you to become a follower. And quit just giving in. God says it this way through Joshua. Dig down deep and become a follower. Now, some of y'all want to go this way and go that way and go back to your lifestyle. That's it to you. I guarantee you, if somebody was in a Green Beret or Ranger saying, I don't like this, then quit. Don't do me any favors. I mean, wouldn't they tell you that? I don't need you. That's awful. Jesus said the same thing in John 6. Here's feed you 5,000. Then the people come up and want more bread. Like, God, if you don't give me a sandwich, I'm gone. Then go. I'm not going to feed you every day. You've got to be a follower of me. Not just come up, show up when you feel like it. Get here. Next. So for Joshua, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John writes this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the things that make us fans again. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world's passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We've got to sink down, deep down, really deep,
and say, when the wind hits, we're not going to get blown about. What does it take to defeat you? I guess I'm just saying there. Satan had a bag of temptations right up here. And he opens it up. He says, yeah, let me see if I can get something. So he says, and I pick it up, first temptation. Yeah, that took care of Chris, and it wouldn't take too much. Hey, Chris, Playboy magazine? Yeah, I've been taking this for a while. Huh? Or would you say, I don't want the Playboy magazine. Well, look, pornography on the internet. I don't want that either. I'll bust the internet. Chris, we used to get you with it. Here, cocaine. Not even. Beer? Not even. You don't have to dig down what? The bottom. Chris, the bag's empty. Nothing bothers you anymore.
Yeah!
What kind of attitude that be? You think God was not?
Yes.
He's a promoter.
Yes.
He's like a coach when you score.
Yes.
That used to bother him years ago, and it doesn't bother him anymore. Yes. Edgar, you are beating the devil up.
Get angels up there watching us high fives.
It ain't always been that way in our lives, has it? Used to be getting got the bag up more in our book than on. That's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of us in high school. Get out of the way, Satan, I'll get
wow. Can I take the whole bag? We're dragging the bag down the road with
us. Say yes. Yeah.
You're a follower.
You just keep thinking now.
You change from a soldier to cross to a ranger. And the captain who's given orders is Captain Jesus. And he said, you will not let me down, will you? No, sir. I'll tell him the absolute best for me. That's kind of false. He said, man, you're taking this seriously. I am. We should. Next. Max Lucado writes it this way, I choose faith. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. All everybody knows me knows I'm a faithful follower. Joshua chapter 7. These are the guys who were followers. And they went out in chapter 6 and they fell a big city called Jericho. Anybody have the Battle of Jericho, remember? They beat Jericho up so bad. They didn't want anything to do. These people thought, wow, God's army is just marching over us. Would you read with me here? Chapter 6. Go back to chapter 6 just a second. Chapter 6, verse 15. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they encircled the city 7 times. Seventh time around, when the priest shouted the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in the house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. God's going to bless her for her standing up for what was right. Look at verse 18. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring disaster on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury. Can you condense that down and put it into your language? Let's go win this battle, but when you see the sacred things, the gold, the silver, the fine clothing, whatever it is, don't you dare what?
Take it.
Don't you take it. If you pick it up, you give it to the, you know, who's a traitor. Don't you dare take it. Make it in our language again with the bag of sin. You're going to find some stuff in there. You bring it to the trash man here, and he's going to throw it away from you. Found the Playboy Mac? Good. Throw that away. I'm just going to get my bag. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I'm not looking at it. You will. Found a kid. Found a bottle. Found a... Give it up right now. Why? It'll do me no good. It's not hurting me yet. It will. Throw it away. Get rid of this stuff. So when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet. The people gave a loud shout. The wall collapsed. This is the wall of Jericho. This wall was so wide, 2 cars could be parked on it. It's a huge wall. God brought it down. So every... man charged straight in, took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed the sword, everything in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, Go into the prostitute's house, bring her out, and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So they went in, they rescued Rahab. Young men who had done spying went in, brought out Rahab. Her father and her mother, it's very important to pay attention right here. Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, all who belonged to her. They brought out the entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. They just now rescued. Rahab's decision to hide the spies benefited Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers. Rahab's faith just now did what with the whole family? Saved the whole family. Because of Rahab, your family gets saved. I'm going to show you something that works in reverse of that. Okay, was everything good? Nobody took anything? Chapter 7. The Israelites acted unfaithful in regard to the devoted thing. Oh, Achan. He's going to be Achan by the time this story is over. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the sacred things, the devoted things. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Bottom line is this. He was going through the rubble when they're going into the city, and he spots a piece of gold. A piece of silver. And he picks up the things God says. And here's worst of all, he did those things and thought, no one will watch. I'll go back and hide. Nobody will know. Don't raise your hand if you've ever hit a bottle or a pack of cigarettes or played one magazine under the mattress. You know, you have to keep the things up. You have to see, I'll take that thing. How did you know that? I know that two reasons. I know your age group. What's the other reason I know that for? I mean, I know what you mean. What if mom's throwing up? What's that? The hand grenade.
Chris, we need to talk.
It's a hand gun. How did you get that? If you'd have hit stuff in your house, you would have been. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been found out by your mom or dad or a teacher. Making stuff to be found out. I just want to paint that picture because you don't know how to do it. He hid some of the stuff. Who did it hurt? Well, they had an next battle, and I'll just summarize it because I don't want to keep here all day. But they had an next battle against a little town called AI. Small town, small name, AI. And they went in. AI would be like playing in there's Greenway. And the job's hard to play, I tell you what. Very well, you need to take our whole team. Let's just take the rest. We'll go down and kill Mary's, like we usually do, and come back home. So they went down and they won. Well, 36 men died that day in battle at AI. AI was nothing. Jericho's huge and they win. AI is small and they lose. And Joshua got sort of mad at God. AI killed 36 of the good soldiers. He lost 36 rangers that day. And Joshua gets sort of mad at God, and he just, well, let me show you. Chapter 7, the Israelites acted unfaithfully. Achan stole some things. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven to the east of Bethlehem, and told them, go up, spy out the region. So the men went up and spied it out. They came back. They were so overconfident when they returned to Joshua. They said, oh, not all the people are going to have to go up against Ai. Just send 2,000 to 3,000 men to take it. Do not worry all the people. For only a few men are there. We don't need any help. So about 3,000 men went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed 36 of them. They chased Israelites from the gate, from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted, became like water. Watch what Joshua does. Then Joshua tore his clothes, just ripped his coat, buttons probably flying, and he fell down face on the ground before the Ark of the Covenant, which, you know, that represents God there. Remained there till evening. He stayed there in the afternoon. He stays there praying, just pouring his heart out before God all evening. Well, what's he pouring it out for? The elders of Israel did the same, and they sprinkled dust on their heads. It's like we have been defeated. This bothers us. By the way, I'm gonna pat Joshua on the back. You might not understand Wallace what he's doing, but when they sinned, when they lost, it bothered them greatly. It ought to crush you when you sin. You say, God, I hate that. Because God hates it. Start hating what he hates, loving what he loves, and we'll be in good shape. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Now, I didn't say this become depressed and suicidal, and I'm just saying, quit having that flippant attitude. Oh, yeah, so I said 8 cuss words. Big deal. It is a big deal. He just got crushed.
I watched Giles Wooster for Radford one night. They were undefeated. Radford's undefeated. They had, we come out, we lost 6-0. I mean, you thought it was a funeral home. You go down there after the game, one by one, the players come out just looking at the floor like, this can't happen. We don't lose. It crushed them. Joshua's crushed. It bothers us. We don't like to lose. He gets on his hands and knees and just cries out and says, God, what's the deal? I thought you were going to be with us. I'm paraphrasing that. Verse 7, Joshua said, Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring these people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Hey, couldn't we just die back home? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites, the other people of the country, are going to hear about this, and they're going to surround us and wipe us out. We don't have that power we used to have. What then will you do for your own great name, God? God, what's the deal? And God's that drill sergeant in the Marines suddenly, and look what he says, verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Okay. You don't sound like you're in a good mood, God. You're not in a good mood. The reason why I didn't bless you against Ai is because there's sin in the camp. You got things in your life that needs to head out the door. Well, I didn't do anything. Maybe you didn't, but some of you did, and if one falls, guess what? We all live together. We're going to find out who's sinning. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant when I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. You're asking me to bless sin, and I will not do that. You got to get rid of the sin first. I can't move us on until you take care of that. So go consecrate the people, yourselves, and we're going to find out who did this. How would you like to be in that army camp? Now I'm going to switch and ask you a simple question. If I roll in here and say, like one can't grow if somebody's sinful, would you say, I wonder who it is? What would you say? Holy Spirit's working on it right now. So, are there things I could do to advance this kingdom? Lord, let me start with you. You know where revival starts? I don't say, God, we need revival. If you just change Virginia, we'd be a whole lot better off. Virginia. That was a work in progress. I don't do that. And God says, how about the mirror, Adrian? How about you, folks? Well, I'm pretty good, right? Nah. Let's start with you. Maybe we'll take care of it. But God wasn't quite that. He said, gather everybody good. They gather together. Can you imagine some people with a firm in the face said, it's not going to be me, I'm good. Down the line, firm in the faith, and here's Achan. Swept his own life. He said, why? What did you do? Are we making dudes even like us sometimes? I'm glad I'm in good shape. You're not in good shape. I'm good. You're going to find out what it is. They're going to call together the people. This is going to be ugly real quick. In the morning, present yourselves, tribe by tribe. The tribe of the Lord at stake shall come forward. Clan by clan, we keep getting smaller. Family by family, and the family that the Lord takes shall come and forward, and then man by man. Early the next morning, verse 16, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes. If you imagine this, he says, the tribe of needs to remain. Everybody else can go home. Some people breathe a sigh of relief. I'm glad it wasn't me that caused us to defeat. Sometimes we don't even know that maybe we mess up. Those are sins of omission. Maybe we should be doing things. But other times we have no idea that somebody beside us is going through a tough time. How about the disciples? Remember those? And Jesus says, one of you will betray me. How many people turned to look at Judas at that point? They did. They turned to look at each other. Peter says, it's not me, is it? James and John Michael. And I'm praying. I mean, there was nobody said to Jesus. He's been like that. No, Jesus just blended right in. What was we living like? Maybe he's just blending in right here. I don't know if the sweat's rolling off his face or if he's blending in, but Achan is. Oh, it's time to come to task here. Early next morning, verse 16, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes. Judah was taken. The plans of Judah came forward. He took the Zerahites, and he had the clan of the Zerahites came forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua and his family came forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi,
the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, at the tribe of the tribe of Judah was taken. Joshua finally came over as they narrowed it down, finally got up to him, and Joshua said to David, my son, give glory to the Lord. What would your mama say? Who throws that?
Tell the truth.
You better tell me what you've done and tell me the truth. Don't make it worse by what?
Lying.
You tell me what you've done. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You tell me what you've done. Give glory to God. Give him the praise. Tell me what you've done. Don't hide it from me now. And they can reply, well, okay, it's true. I have sinned. Is that a good confession? Not now. I've sinned. Really? Why didn't you tell me that 3 days ago? You cost us 36 men, and there's some families that won't have a daddy or a husband coming home because of you. Now think about that. I'm not hurting anybody. It's true. I am sinning against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylon, it'd be like fancy clothes, mixed stole. 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them. What's coveted? I took them. I wanted them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath it, so how much does your secret sins cost? I don't know. His secret sins cost 36 men in one. Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent, silver underneath. They took the things out, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. And now comes judgment time. And you might not like what's going to happen, but what did they do to Achan? Is this Achan? Keep reading. Go get Achan's family. What? Unless no. When I read that, it even grabs my heart. I just wish there was something else you could. Joshua together with all Israel took Achan's son Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, the tent, all he has had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this disaster on us? The Lord will bring disaster on you. Then all of Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned him. And over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks. That's how you bury somebody there, because you can't dig a grave, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor. Achor means disaster. The Valley of Achor ever since then. Then they go back to Ai, and they rout Ai like they should have. My point was, sin, I think, bothers us. And we can't grow, we can't be a follower until we get rid of the sin. I know, I don't want to go over too much. Andy, can you click this up right here? When Christians try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, somewhat like a fan trying to sit on both sides of the gym when two teams are playing. By trying to be in both places, they really don't stand for anything. So they'll come to church on Sunday when they do Saturday night. Yeah. See what I mean? But I'm here. Yeah, but you're not ready. You got one foot in the way of the old life, one foot here. Will God bless? Did he bless? No, he didn't bless the Israelites. He said, until you get rid of the sin, I'm not with you. Well, God, you better get rid of the sin. I can't bless you until you decide which side of the fence you're on. Next. In Revelation chapter 3, at the end of time, Jesus says, I wish you were either cold or what?
Hot.
But instead, you're lukewarm. How many people would love to have a good old cup of lukewarm coffee? An egg. Well, it's cold. In fact, you can hold a plate up, the egg just stays. I mean, that really looks good. God says, at least if you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. You sort of decide. You know what dictates your principles? Whoever you're with. You're like a chameleon. You just blend in the crowd. Come to church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Almost my friend. Yeah, I can act just like the world of best in India. This will catch up to you one day. You're going to lose. To get where you're at, you're going to cuss at church and say hallelujah with your friends, and you're going to be in trouble. Trying to be two-faced, hypocritical. Don't be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. I would hope it would be this.
I've had referees before call my basketball games years ago, and I thought, I wish you were either always bad, made tight calls on everybody, or just wanted to. But when you're flip-flopping, you're hard to predict. I don't know what you're doing. It's like the weather. It's going to be a hot day, cold one. We don't know. Jesus needs to know what we are. Next. We went to Joshua 7. We read about a man named Achan. Here's the things he stole. He thought he'd gotten away with sin, but look what Matthew 6:24 tells us. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise him. You can't serve God and money. He just could not let loose of that problem. By the way, was he a... What do you call his sin? Now, I'm not picking on him because I've done my own. But was his sin drinking? Drugs? Pornography? Was his sin anger? What was his sin?
Greed.
You like nice things? Achan, let's go. We got this battle. Silver and gold. Imagine soldiers running like this. Look like the ranger, nice slick move. There's Achan. Pockets bulging. I just found a couple more things. Pretty soon, Achan's just... He forgets this. But if you fail to do this, in Numbers later, they would be admonished, follow God. But if you fail to do this, you'll be sinning against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sins will find you out one day or another. You're going to finally be found out. Maybe God's finding out. All right, Andy. One sin is nobody's business but his own. That's what some people think. Achan's sin affected his nation. They lost. 36 men died in the battle. All Israel was rebuked. All Israel suffered defeat. Achan's sin even affected his family. Remember, Rahab the harlot, her family was saved because of her faith. Achan's family was destroyed because of his sin. So I didn't think I was bothering anybody but myself. You really think sin, sin's like you hit the pebble in the pond and it goes like this. People will be affected by you. That would be like saying Adam Ward was shot and killed and the only people affected was the Ward family. Good thing nobody else was affected. You really think so? The whole community, the whole state today. CBS News has us on nationwide news. Yeah, it's more than just a little, it's the same with sin. It just keeps getting bigger. I would like to switch it and be a blessing. Wouldn't that be cool? Our blessings will have the ripple effect too. Okay, so what am I asking you to do? Perhaps give up some things in your life? Yeah. Well, choose you this day whom you'll serve us. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what I'm asking. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, today that in a world of things just flying around us, we so often get distracted. Jesus, in these still, quiet moments, Lord, you call us to choose you this day when you're serving. And Lord, you're loving and kind, and I know that. And you're long suffering and you're patient, I know that. Lord, we forget to see the other side of you. It's not that you're demanding. You're very gracious with us. But Jesus, you are calling us, and we can't deny that. We don't like to picture that side of it. We don't like to see the side of you that says, get up, keep going. Lead the sinful life that you used to lead. Get far away from me and pursue me with all your heart. We don't like to see that. But Jesus will never amount to much unless we do. Well, today may you brought things to mind, to our heart, to our mind, that we need to give up. We need to surrender to you. So, Lord, you do the speaking. I'll be quiet. Lord, you speak your heart to me. Whatever God's bringing to mind, say, Jesus, I surrender that to you. Where we act towards others or words, maybe the actions, maybe it's something we've done this week, maybe it's something we seem to be tripped up with time and time again. It's time to get after God. So, God, you got to help me get through this. I surrender to you. And Jesus wants us to surrender that, and I know you can bless me because you can't bless sin.
now that you've surrendered that to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, please help me be a follower. I want to be serious about my faith. I want no one to question. I'm a follower of you. Lord, I surrender all of you. Forgive me. I'm grateful that you're a graceful God, full of grace towards me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may just feel like God's got to scrub me clean, but he can do that. He's allowed to do that. He can do that completely. Lord Jesus, I thank you. The Bible says, who is he that condemned? If it was Christ that died, yea, rather he that is living in you and seated at the right hand of God, therefore making intercession for us. Jesus, the only one that has a right to condemn us is you, and you don't, and we surrender our lives to you. Thank you that Romans says it does. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. May someone in here today now be fully planted.